KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, as well as an environmental assistant. The Shimmigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Polloff Harbor Tribe is looking for an administrative assistant. The City of Sandpoint is looking for an EMS director. The Adaga Tribe of King Cove is looking for a tribal administrator, a part-time or full-time IGAP assistant, and a solid waste recycling technician. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant, a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant, and a part-time Pull-Tab sales clerk. The Aleutian Housing Authority is looking for a lead carpenter in King Cove, Eats's Hangar Behavior Health trainee, and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. APIA is in need of a family advocate for Sandpoint, a family advocate for King Cove, a cultural preservation specialist for Accutan, and a family advocate for False Pass. Community announcements, King Cove and Sandpoint, once again you have home games this weekend. The T-Jacks will be hosting the Eagles in King Cove, and the Rookies will make their way to Sandpoint to take on the Lady Eagles here in Sandpoint. You can listen live to those games here on KSDP, or you can enjoy them in person, free of charge, courtesy of KSDP. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day. It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset, starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sidkenap to Castle Cape, gale warning through Friday. Today, southeast winds 25 knots, increasing to 35 in the afternoon. Seas 5 feet, building to 9 in the afternoon with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 17 feet with rain. And Friday, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 17 feet with rain. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, gale warning today and Friday. Today, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 8 feet, building to 14 in the afternoon, with fog and rain. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 18 feet with rain. And Friday, southeast winds 25 knots, increasing to 35 in the afternoon, seas 14 feet with rain. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today and Friday. Today, southeast winds 40 knots, seas 16 feet with gusts to 55 in the morning with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 15 feet with patchy fog and rain. And Friday, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 16 feet with rain. Port Hedland and Nelson Lagoon, gale warning today and Friday. Today, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 6 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. And Friday, southeast winds 25 knots, increasing to 40 in the afternoon, seas 6 feet with rain. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 6 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. And Friday, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 6 feet with rain. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain, patchy fog in the morning, highs in the mid-30s to lower 40s, east winds 25 to 40 miles per hour with gusts to 50. Tonight, patchy fog in the evening, widespread rain showers in the evening, then numerous rain showers after midnight. Lows in the mid-30s to lower 40s, southeast winds 10 to 25 miles an hour. And Friday, rain, highs in the mid-30s to lower 40s, southeast winds 20 to 35 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Pop-Off Island. There was a high tide at 4:27 a.m. at 6 feet 10 inches, a low at 9:45 at 3 feet 1 inch, a high at 3:27 p.m. at 7 feet 9 inches, and a low tonight at 10:20, a minus tide of 3 inches. Your sun rose at 9:57 this morning, and your sun will set at 5:46, giving us 7 hours and 49 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSTP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News. The Unalaska City Council voted to extend food service hours for local restaurants, and some state lawmakers want to bring pensions back to public employees in Alaska. Stay tuned.
ALIU is proud to sponsor the stories and voices that connect our community. ALIU is committed to building a stronger future for our region. To learn more about ALIUT's commitment for a stronger future, visit alucorp.com.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in. It's Thursday, January 16th, 2025. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is coming up, which means we're in for a three-day weekend. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. Unalaska restaurants that serve alcohol now have more hours in the day to do business. The Unalaska City Council voted Tuesday to extend food service hours to liquor license-holding restaurants starting as early as 5:30 in the morning. The hours alcohol can be served haven't changed. The proposal, which passed unanimously, came from councilmember and local bar owner Deneen Luby. She recused herself from the vote and from council discussion. Councilmember and Vice Mayor Alejandro Bongtungle says in a working town like Unalaska, having more options for breakfast is a plus.
A lot of people work 24-7, and some of them get up at 5, 6 in the morning and too tired to cook.
Previously, liquor-licensed restaurants could only serve food and non-alcoholic beverages during the same hours they could serve alcohol, with an exception on Sunday mornings. The change in local law extends food service by 2.5 hours most days. City officials say a bump in sales tax revenue is possible from the change, but it isn't expected to be significant. A Juneau lawmaker is once again pushing to revive a pension system for state and local government workers, including teachers in Alaska. On Friday, Senator Jesse Keel, a Juneau Democrat, pre-filed Senate Bill 27. It's a proposal to reinstate the pension-style retirement system nixed by the Alaska legislature in 2006 in favor of a 401k-like program.
This is an important thing that we got wrong 20 years ago, and we need to get right. It's very clear that this doesn't just benefit employees, it also benefits the state, and it also benefits cities and local taxpayers.
Keel says that lawmakers' decision nearly two decades ago backfired. That's because state and local agencies and school districts are struggling to recruit and retain enough employees. There's been a bipartisan effort to try and reverse course in hopes of encouraging hiring. Keel pointed to a 2023 analysis of the current system, which showed employees earned drastically less in retirement savings under it than the previous system. The effort to revive the pension system has faced skepticism from some lawmakers about whether it would actually help with hiring and save the state money. Keel's bill is similar to one introduced last session by Senator Kathy Geisel, an Anchorage Republican. Her bill passed the Senate but failed to advance in the House. Geisel filed a pension bill again this session. Keel's bill would give new employees a choice between the two retirement systems, while Geisel's would allow current employees to choose but enroll every new employee in the defined benefit program. Keel says he thinks Geisel's bill will be more popular, and he would support it. Both bills will start from scratch because a new legislature is convening. Keel says he's optimistic that restoring state pensions will get the governor's support.
The goal here will be to get the governor to engage and have something that he will let pass into law when it hits his desk.
Just last session, Governor Mike Dunleavy said he was skeptical that a pension plan would actually move the needle in recruiting and retaining staff. Lawmakers from around the state are already arriving in Juneau. The first session of the 34th Alaska Legislature is set to begin next Tuesday. Coming up after the newscast, KUCB's Sophia Stewart-Rossi talks about mental health in the community with clinic staff member Teresa Novakovic. Novakovic will lead an upcoming Lunch and Learn session at the Unalaska Public Library about supporting others' mental health. Here's a preview of their conversation.
What inspired you to organize this Lunch and Learn about mental health and lending a hand in our community?
Well, what inspired me was that a lot of people don't have access to training. They might not have a full 8 hours to devote. And I thought, if I could just share a little bit of information, make it really easily accessible, I think it would make a difference in people's lives. Jenny at the museum is on our board of directors, and I learned about the Lunch and Learns that the museum sponsored. And I asked her, hey, Jenny, this is what I'm interested in. I would love to share some information about supporting people who are having mental health challenges. Is that an appropriate topic? And she said, absolutely. So that's how it came about.
I think one thing that you bring up that's really interesting is the importance of having a community, because you mentioned, you know, maybe not as many mental health providers. And so when there's that lack or that gap, that makes it even maybe, from what I'm hearing, more important that community members know how to help with mental health. Is that right?
Absolutely. And so if we know that there's not a provider here on island where it's going to be weeks or months, if we have community members that are educated about what's helpful and what they can do to support us in the meantime, I think it could be very helpful, even life-saving.
That was a preview of Iluluk Family and Health Services staff member Teresa Novakovic speaking with KUCB's Sophia Stewart-Rossi about supporting mental health in Unalaska. Stay tuned for the full interview after today's newscast. To be a part of the Lunch and Learn session, head to the library Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30. It's free to attend. Tune in tomorrow at noon and 5 right here at KUCB for a new episode of the Bering Sea Barometer. Captain Pete Nathan walks listeners through the real-life experiences of fishing the Bering Sea with journal-style entries from all up and down the Aleutian chain. Find all episodes of the podcast on our website and on Spotify. Here's a look at what's happening in Unalaska this week. Unangam Tanu class will be in the high school room 180 tonight at 6. All are welcome to attend. The Unalaska Women's March takes place Saturday morning starting at 11. Meet 15 minutes in advance at Henry Swanson Drive, which is the road that goes to Little South America and the Carl Moses Boat Harbor. The march goes to City Hall. Make signs in the library Friday night, that's tomorrow, at 5:30. The Unalaska Book Club meets in the library Sunday afternoon starting at 4. This week they're discussing Caroline Fraser's Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Copies are available at the library and as an audiobook. Finally, the MLK Day Community Potluck takes place in the PCR Gym Monday evening starting at 6. To learn more about these events and everything else coming up, check out your community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at kucb.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Enjoy the long weekend. Our next newscast is Tuesday at noon. We'll see you then.
From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Juneau Assembly voted to formally oppose an Alaska Board of Fisheries proposition that would limit Southeast Alaska hatchery production of pink and chum salmon by 25%. The proposition is intended to address the effects of hatchery salmon on wild salmon. Studies show that hatchery fish that return to other spawning areas may be competing for resources with wild fish. The Assembly's resolution says that more than half of Southeast Alaska's 2024 commercial harvest value came from hatcheries, and a reduction would negatively impact the region's economy. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes Scandes objected, saying that she felt the city and borough of Juneau lacked the scientific expertise to weigh in on this issue, and that she would rather the Board of Fisheries use their knowledge to rule on the proposition.
Well, I care about our wild stock tremendously, and I want to make sure fish are going to be here. And if there's any question that the hatchery fish are impacting wild fish and affecting genetic diversity, then I wouldn't want to jump in and say don't do that. I would want them to review the data and make an informed decision, which I can't do with this.
Douglas Island Pink and Chum, or DIPAC, Hatchery Executive Director Katie Harms attended the meeting to answer questions about the resolution. When asked about the impact of the Assembly not adopting it, Harms said the city would be out of alignment with other Southeast communities whose municipal governments already opposed the resolution.
And then if this proposal at the Board of Fish were to pass, it would lead to significant economic harm in the Juneau community. A 25% reduction in chum salmon production would lead to a likelihood of potential for this two seafood processors in town to be unable to operate year-round.
Harms said that a reduction in hatchery fish would impact DIPAC's future, and, quote, worst-case scenario, unquote, would be DIPAC closing. The Assembly passed the resolution 7-1 with Hugh Scandes opposing. Thanks to KTOO's Yvonne Crumry for that reporting.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Kodiak's commercial Tanner crab fishery opened on Wednesday, January 15th at 12 noon. The Kodiak Crab Alliance Cooperative, which represents the local fleet, negotiated a different kind of deal this year. The cooperative is delivering between 70 and 80% of the total harvest to one processor that offered the best price. Usually, they negotiate with all of the processing companies at once for an acceptable price range, and different vessels deliver to different plants. This year, Alaska Pacific Seafood, which is owned by North Pacific Seafoods, will pay $5.75 per pound for the lion's share of the guidelined harvest, which is 770,000 pounds between Kodiak's East Side District and the South Side of the Alaska Peninsula. The rest of the crab can then be sold as part of the usual agreements between fishermen selling to their respective processors. That makes the Kodiak 2025 Tanner crab fishery likely worth at least $3.1 million. The dockside price per pound is about $2 more than it was last year when fishermen harvested 3 million pounds. The crabs being harvested this year are the last part of a massive cohort that was first observed in 2018 and supported seasons since 2022. Fishermen expect the season to last about a week or less, depending on weather. There are 69 boats registered to fish Tanner crab this season in Kodiak. Biologists with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game are unsure if there will be enough of a population for a season next year, but will make that decision after the summer trawl survey. Thank you to KMXT's Brian Venois for that report.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
More than 1 million pounds of Alaska's snow crab that might have previously gone unfished can now be processed thanks to an agreement between the cities of St. Paul and Unalaska. KUCB's Andy Lusk reports that the deal is a unique opportunity for collaboration and is expected to bring economic relief to St. Paul.
The Unalaska City Council unanimously approved a measure Friday that will allow snow crab, or Opelio, normally processed by Trident Seafoods in St. Paul, to come to Unalaska instead. The agreement comes after Trident's announcement that they would not process the crab at their facility on the Pribilof Island.
We had the situation with no processor in the northern region for snow crab.
That's Unalaska Fisheries Advisor Frank Kelty noting that without the St. Paul Trident plant, there's no processor to handle the portion of the harvest referred to as North Region snow crab. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game allotted harvesters a total catch of more than 4.5 million pounds this season. That gets split up among boats, processors, and communities through a quota sharing system. This season, crabbers were set to deliver almost a third of that total catch to the North Region at St. Paul's Trident plant. But Trident pulled out, saying the amount was too low to justify opening the plant, which they've touted as the largest snow crab processing facility in the world. That left the crab with nowhere to go, and it would have otherwise been left in the ocean. That is, until Friday's special city council meeting. Here's Unalaska City Attorney Charles Cassiola.
Crab that would otherwise need to be landed in St. Paul could instead be landed and processed in Unalaska.
Unalaska City Council members voted to give the city of St. Paul its normal seafood tax for all of the North Region crab landed locally. St. Paul will also receive state fisheries business tax from the same catch.
The harvesters would pay St. Paul's 3.5% rather than Unalaska's 2% on crab that is North Region designated.
The agreement would net St. Paul the same fish tax revenue as if the crab were processed there. Still, the city says Unalaska should see a sales tax revenue bump and increased economic activity for the delivery and processing of the extra crab. The contract could provide significant economic relief to the Pribilof Island community, which has historically relied on crab as a major stream of revenue. St. Paul city officials have estimated that they're missing out on about $3 million in tax revenue due to the fishery closures. The city has lost more than 24 employees in the last 3 years, and they've had to increase utility rates and take money from savings to stay afloat. The tax revenue from the small snow crab harvest could provide a much-needed bump to the community. Unalaska city officials say they're glad for the unique opportunity to help out the island's distant neighbor to the north. Kelty says Unicy and Westward, two Unalaska processors, can now take St. Paul's crab landings. The exemption agreement is active through the end of June. In Unalaska, co-reporting with Maggie Nelson, I'm Andy Lusk.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Alaska red king crabs are more genetically diverse than previously thought, according to a new study. As KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi reports, the findings could be necessary for the crab's survival as ocean conditions change.
Scientists have thought that the genetic diversity of the Alaska red king crab fell into three groups. But now researchers are finding the species should be split into six, maybe even seven, genetically distinct groups based on more thorough DNA research. A new study in collaboration with universities and fishery organizations sequenced the whole genome of the crab across the state, which hasn't been done before. Scientists in the past only studied part of their genetic makeup. Knowing the whole genome of Alaska red king crab helps fishery managers understand more about the crab in specific regions and what they can do to help increase low populations by using regulation and possible stock enhancements tailored to a particular crab group. Decade-old research showed that Alaska red king crab comprised only three groups, one from the southeast region, one from the Gulf of Alaska and East Bering Sea regions, and one from the Aleutian Islands and Norton Sound regions. But new data shows the genetic diversity is even more specific than that. It notes genetic differences in the crabs in Bristol Bay, the Pribilof Islands, and maybe even between the Chukchi Sea and Norton Sound. So why are there so many different Alaska red king crab genetic groups throughout the state? Scientists say it's for a number of reasons, like natural selection and random genetic changes. But it also shows that the crabs have distinct genetic patterns for local adaptations, meaning they genetically adapt to their environment. And that's important. Scientists say having a wider range of genetic diversity can prevent a species from becoming extinct. But that doesn't automatically mean that the Alaska red king crab can handle major environmental changes like climate change. Some populations are still vulnerable, like the Gulf of Alaska group. The Gulf's commercial red king crab fishery has remained closed since the population collapsed in the early 1980s. Scientists say these newfound genetic signs of local adaptations in Alaska red king crab are crucial when studying how they'll adjust to warming oceans as human-caused climate change continues. It's not yet known what genetic differences might become important for the crab's survival in the future. In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle. We'll be right back.
finally stand on my feet.
Take a look, take a look in the mirror and cry.
What about your daddy? I have spent all my years in believing you, but I just can't get no relief. Lord, somebody,
somebody,
ooh, somebody,
somebody,
can anybody find me? Every day of my life, I work till I ache my bones. At the end
of the day,
I take home my heart on me.
Thank you.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigan Corporation. Located in Sand Point, the Shumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sand Point Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Shumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sand Point, on the web at www.shumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigan Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Sight.
You are listening to KSDP Radio, 8:30 a.m. Sandpoint, 880.1 FM. I'm translator K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man. To be a different man, time may change me, but I can't trace time. Yeah. I watch the ripples change the size, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up and out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Where's the shame you've left us up to her next to me?
Time may change me. You can't twist time. Strange fascination fascinating me.
Ah, change.
Bye.
to do. I'm sorry if I hurt you, baby. You're my life and my home. I know I stay up all night when the Mardi Gras comes. I'm a hard-working man, but a man's got to have fun. Don't give up on me, little baby. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me.